Hi all, welcome back to the India Wear Cricket podcast series. I'm here today with Sankit again from Maxim City of Mumbai, and we're going to chat again on the recently concluded T20 series. I'm Munz here and talking about what recently happened. Sankit, good to have you back on board. And what can we say? It was a fantastic T20 series and, you know, a win for India. I got to say, though, that what I initially thought of spin dominating the series really didn't come to pass. It seemed to be, you know, at least bowling-wise, India's middle-order all-rounders and pacers that really came up and claimed a lot of the matches.
Yeah, hi everyone. Good to be back on the India Wear Cricket podcast, and hello to Munz and all our listeners. So like the series started off where the test series left off. I felt like, again, like very slow, low pitches, low scoring games, which is not ideal for a T20 contest. So the first two games, it seemed like the team batting first will have a low score and then the team batting second will have an easy chase. So we started off with that concept, and suddenly once they stopped for some reason, the people stopped coming to the ground because of the pandemic. It suddenly started becoming high scoring games. So feeling sad for people who turned up at the test matches and people who came for the first two T20s. Couldn't get the sight of seeing a dominating Rohit Sharma or a Virat Kohli or a Joss Butler in full flow because the nature of the wicket suddenly changed. But it was good, as you said. The focus suddenly shifted from spinners to batsmen and power hitting and to pacers also. So it is a welcome change on the Narendra Modi Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, it was, talking about it, how India managed to again come back. You know, they're almost the comeback kings, you would say. After losing that first T20 in a very low-scoring match, and just being completely dominated by England, from the second T20, and I got to admit, taking in new players, players who haven't been tested before on any other international, apart from the IPL, debuting players like Ishan Kishan and then even Surya Kumar Yadav, wow, these guys just really went from the get-go. They just grabbed onto their opportunity and, just fantastic to see, as we've talked about a lot of times before, how much bench strength there is there and to make those tough calls, right, Sankit?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Like, these are like proven performers, right, on the grandest league of them all, like in the IPL and of a top team like Mumbai Indians. Then Surya Kumar Yadav have been the pillar strengths of the side in the last 2 to 3 years. And they have won games for Mumbai Indians out of nowhere. So we always looked at Rohit Sharma, Hardik and Pollard to be our game changers. But to be honest, in the last 2 years, Ishan and Surya Kumar have been our actual game changers who have helped Mumbai Indians win games from nowhere. And to see them come on this platform and like start performing immediately was something unheard of, right? Like, I remember Surya Kumar's first delivery was by Jofra Archer, and he hooked him for a six. And Ishan Kishan's first innings on debut was a 50. So it gives testimony to the fact that how much IPL has created this pool of players who can just jump into and start performing immediately. Not to mention that Sanju Samson was dropped after the Australia T20 series. Another person who can easily walk into the side and start performing from the get-go. So it's really good to see the bench strength. But the only problem now is there is a problem of plenty, right? In the sense you have like almost 4 to 5 people vying for the opening spot. You have so many people for that middle order slot. So I hope India doesn't go into the World T20 being confused with what is their best playing 11. And for one, I'm not a big fan of Virat Kohli's team selections. So it really, really boils down to that tri-series that they have planned before the World Cup between India, South Africa, and New Zealand, if I'm not wrong. So that will give an idea as to which team is the better team that India should field going ahead.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you know, in this Indian team, more so than any team that I can remember, it seems like if you don't perform, you know, there's others waiting there just on the wings to come and snatch up your position. You know, I'm thinking about KL Rahul, who just had a horrible series. I mean, he could just, I don't think he ever crossed 10 runs in the four games that he played. And, you know, we all know how well he has done for in the IPL for Punjab Kings. And then also, I'm thinking about Shikhar. I think he was only given one match, you know, before, you know, they pulled him off. And for just, you know, for senior players like that, it's got to be a little bit demoralizing, you know, watching the young guard take over. You know, we all know how Shikhar and Rahul on their day can just completely swing, you know, match as well. They're both centurions. So what do you think about that? How do some of the old guard take this change?
Well, I feel Shikhar belongs to the batch of Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma, whereas KL Rahul is kind of tipped to be the next captain in waiting, right? After, say, Virat hangs up his boots or decides to quit one format of the game, it's obvious choice that KL Rahul will be the next captain in charge once this Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma era ends. I feel Shikhar Dhawan and KL Rahul are two different kind of stroke makers. So Shikhar Dhawan is more of an accumulator. His kind of gameplay works in the ODI format, but it surely doesn't work in the T20 format, especially considering the strength that India has. So for example, Ishan Kishan opening with the batting with Rohit Sharma makes more sense than a Shikhar Dhawan opening the batting with Rohit Sharma. The problem with KL Rahul is that his sudden change of attitude in 2019 and 2020, where he became more of an accumulator of runs himself rather than the free stroke maker that he was in 2018. Now, that does not complement Rohit Sharma well. While Rohit Sharma can also start swinging his bat from the get-go, has to be the cornerstone of our batting. So you need someone opposite to him who can start going all guns blazing. So yesterday when Virat Kohli opened, and he has also, like, you know, kind of mentioned that he would like to continue opening the batting with Rohit Sharma. This is predominantly, I feel, because Virat now has confidence that he has a group of players who can handle the middle order even if there is a collapse. You have people like Kumar and Ishan Kishan who are natural stroke makers. You have Shreyas Iyer, who's another accumulator at the start and then can go bang bang. Hardik Pandya and Ravindra Jadeja are obviously your two guns, gun all-rounder. So I feel KL Rahul may be disappointed, but I feel if he has a really awesome IPL, he'll come back into the reckoning. But it's the question of selecting personalities as per the requirements, right? So if KL Rahul and Rohit Sharma are basically doing the same sort of work for me, then I might as well go with Rohit Sharma than KL Rahul. Unless KL Rahul starts changing his perception about strike rates and directly going bang bang again, then I think there is a thing to consider. But apart from that, I don't see much of a difference in KL Rahul and Rohit Sharma.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you know, these are guys, obviously, you know, it seems that they are stroke makers. They're not really launchers, you know, like what Hardik Pandya or Ishan Kishan can do. Not only that, they take a couple of balls to get your eye in. And in this kind of T20 format, you're not even given that chance, it seems, you know, to really, let's say, you know, take an over. You just have to, as soon as you walk in, the situation may demand that you just got to explode. And amazing thing about some of these new guys is, you know, coming in and, like you said, just taking it off, you know, from the first ball. Spin did not at all play a sort of factor in this series. I think they brought in Chahar, and I remember that one ball, you know, where he bowled, I don't know if it was Butler around his legs. After that, one or two wickets here and there, it really seemed to be, you know, as we could see in the sort of last T20, Bhuvneshwar Kumar coming in, tightening things up. Thakur, who ended up as leading wicket taker for the series. So not what we are thinking really with spin. I mean, these the Indian bowlers did, and sort of medium paces did really well too.
Yeah, like as compared to test matches where you had a problem of plenty with your spinners. Now suddenly in T20, we find there is like, if there is a loophole that teams can exploit, it is the spin department. All of a sudden, like Chahal is out of form. Chahar is relatively new. Kuldeep is like, I don't know what to say about the guy, but he's completely off the reckoning, I feel. Washington Sundar got smacked around all over again. Akshar Patel was on the bench. Jadeja is injured. So, like, you know, it was a good time to perhaps, and yeah, like, not to mention Rahul Tevatiya was unfit and Varun Chakravarti is also unfit. So like, you know, there are options available similar to IPL. There are like these spin people who can come into and directly start performing, but like external conditions are not allowing them to like kind of be a part of that group, which is sad. But I hope that is not a loophole that teams exploit, considering that the World Cup is in India and India may play at some slow, low scoring ground. So in that case, you require like gun spinners to counter teams, because If I just look around, all the teams, they have really good spinners. You have Shamsi in South Africa. You have Zampa and Agar combo in Australia. You have Adil Rashid, who does decently well for England. Surprised that Moeen Ali did not get a single game. You have Mitchell Santner and Ish Sodhi, who basically ran through Australia in the recent T20 series. So now suddenly, India finds itself having spinners who are not performing in the T20 stage. So again, like, IPL may be a good eye-opener to decide who we go with and what we do. I am putting my neck out there and saying that Ravichandran Ashwin surely deserves a chance in this T20 spot, because even if you don't look at him as a wicket taker, he can be the guy who can give 4 overs, 20 runs, 1 wicket, like Bhuvneshwar was doing throughout the series, being your senior pro, and he knows he's wily enough to, like, you know, not get hammered and play in the batsman's mind. So I think we need to go back to basics and have like that Jadeja and Ashwin combo on the spin department.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, the slower they took the pace off the ball, slow medium paces, off cutters, swing bowling, really seemed to get the wickets. The moment you try to increase the pace or bowl bounces, it was kind of hit and miss, really. So somebody who can really come in and slow the game down, take the pace off the ball, force the batsman to use their power in trying to launch it out of this massive stadium, it seems to have got them their wicket. So you're right. I think definitely somebody who can come in and control from one end, when runs are hemorrhaging, seems to be the best. And that may be Jadeja when he comes back. It may be Akshar Patel. It may be even Ashwin. But somebody, definitely, you need somebody that you can bank on their spin to come up and at least hold up one end. Let's spare a thought for not even being a specialist anymore, right? I mean, you have to... It's like you have to bat, ball, and keep, and be an amazing fielder. I mean, you have to check off every box in this department to make it into this T20 side. You know, I'm thinking about Hardik. I'm thinking about Thakur, who had, few great sessions, both of them, I think, with both bat and ball. I'm thinking about a guy like Pant, you know. I mean, it's not enough to be a specialist batsman. You really have to be a specialist all-rounder. Is that what we're looking at to make our T20 squad? You know, just pack them up with all-rounders?
Well, not really. I think Natarajan and Bumrah are two examples and Shreyas Iyer and Surya Kumar also. Like you said, like, yeah, at least two skills of the three are a must. I don't think, like, I've not seen Natarajan being very athletic on the field, but he gets that value with the ball. So I don't think it's a question of all-rounders. Like, if you go with too many all-rounders, then, like, you know, there are issues of when you start getting tonked or when there is a collapse, you need someone specialist to stop the opposition rolling you over. So I think there is still opportunity for specialists like a Chahal and a Bumrah to perform and showcase their skills. But yeah, Virat, looking at the way he is as a captain, he does prefer people who showcase at least two of those three skills. So either you have to be an amazing batsman, bowler plus a fielder, or you have to be a batsman and bowler, and he can then compromise on the fielding aspect.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's since you brought it up, I mean, what a last series finale. I mean, both Rohit and Virat just completely batted them out of, you know, batted them out of reckoning, it seems. And of course, that late flurry as well by Hardik. Are we seeing a new opening combination there now? We're looking at, you know, how many time and tested. Everybody is saying that Virat and Rohit should be the new Sachin Sehwag combo. What do you think about that?
Well, not really. Both of them are like probably playing their second last T20 World Cup, if I get those calculations right. So I don't feel it's like something that they will look at in the long term. And knowing Virat, he can change overnight his opinion. So like, let's see how this IPL goes. That tri-series, originally this particular one series with England was supposed to be the last international series that they played before the World Cup. But now there will be this tri-series which will be played in India again. So that may give opportunities to KL Rahul and others to perform and put their name into the hat again. So I feel, while it is, to be honest, looking at Rohit, Virat and how they played, they complemented each other and they are our best two batsmen, right? So I definitely want them to be there. But there is always that emotional angle that KL Rahul has been your best T20 bat for quite some time now. So to just let go of him randomly is a problem. One more thing that can happen is, see, Pant is an enigma. We know that he has been dropped from the side multiple times. He was recently dropped from the T20 squad in Australia. Because of his test match performances, he suddenly has been drafted back into the team. If he does not perform in that tri-series, then there is like enough scope to drop him and play KL Rahul or Ishan Kishan in his place, because clearly there are like too many opportunities given to him. I know he deserves all those opportunities, but so does other players in the squad right now. So I just feel there might be a battle for the wicketkeeper slot between the three of them.
And good to see Kohli finally making a comeback. I mean, he had a long stretch as well, a lean period, and he finally ended up as top of the leaderboard in runs. So, yeah, hopefully, I mean, without him in that center, I mean, the team really is the sort of wheel while he is the axis. So, Rohit as well has been kind of propping up things for quite a while, but if Kohli fails, this is kind of like the 90s, you know, I'd hate to think that this is kind of like a 90s Sachin team if he goes out and everything, you know, falls around him. I wouldn't say that. There's plenty of scope in the Indian team to hold, even if Kohli goes out. And I think we've seen that over the last couple of months. But good to see him return to form, right?
Yes, absolutely. I still feel that he is not up to his fluent best of 2017-18 in the shorter format of the game. Perhaps it is the time off that he took. Perhaps it is the overall lockdown and the bubble that impacts you mentally. But I still feel he is only 60 to 75% with his absolute peak best. Like Virat was like his 200% best in 2017-18. So let's see where he goes from here, and hopefully he has a really good IPL as well.
Yeah, let's spare a thought for English players coming into the one-day series. I mean, at this stage, they just, towards the end of the series final, they just look completely demoralized, fatigued. I just don't know how mentally, you know, it just seems like they're looking to wrap things up and, you know, and get back to England as fast as they can now. What do you think about the English dressing room and how they're going to take on the upcoming sort of one-day series? What's going? What must be their plan of game plan?
Well, I think they will look at it as like, you know, 2.5 T20 games, mentally speaking, to just ensure that, you know, how see the top order handles the first 20 overs, how the middle order handles the next set of 20 overs and so on, how their death bowlers perform, how their spinners perform. So I don't think it was a mental issue, because most of the personnel over here was completely new from the test series. Except someone like Ben Stokes and Jofra Archer. And Jofra is thrown back due to his injury, but Stokes will continue in the one-day series and then in the IPL also. I don't know whether they are going back and coming, going back to England and then coming to India again, or what is the story there. But I don't feel it was a question of fatigue. In fact, they looked really up for it till the 10th over yesterday, when Josh Butler and David Malan were going all guns blazing. But then suddenly they dropped, because I think it is a genuine question of lack of matches that, say, someone like an Oyen Morgan has been in, whereas all others have got ample opportunities to play either in Test or in the Big Bash League. I just felt sad, I consider Morgan to be one of the best limited over captains there has been. So I just felt sad that he was hesitant to try out new things, like Virat was changing the squad to give people opportunities. Some decisions were really confusing, like Sam Curran batting below Chris Jordan, who's a really average LOI performer, whereas Sam Curran is your gun T20 bat. And then he did not give opportunities to some of the young pacemen who were on the bench. And even in the batting order, he didn't shuffle things much around. So I just felt there was, I don't know whether it was on purpose or what, Mohin Ali did not get a game again. So I don't know what the intentions were, but for once, they seem to be pretty rigid on their plans and just wanted to stick with that combo and make it work somehow. Going into the ODI series, I think there are not many new faces, but some new people will definitely get a chance now again. And as I said, it's more or less just getting accustomed to the Indian conditions for their batsmen and their bowlers. And it's like an aberration in between the T20 series and the IPL and then the World Cup, right? So not really sure how seriously these teams are going to take this ODI series.
Who do you think are going to be faces leading for India in the ODI series? Who can we expect to come in and, changes with regard to the T20?
Yeah, I think Dhawan and Rohit will definitely open the batting for India, and Dhawan should perform well in the ODI stage. I think someone like in the pace attack, someone like Natarajan may spring some surprise. Apart from that, I think Krunal Pandya may be given a run as a bowler as well. And someone like Siraj, who's in the ODI squad, or someone like Prasidh Krishna, who's a new guy coming up, and Virat Kohli had spoken strongly about him long back. So maybe these people will be tried out. And not to say like Bhuvaneshwar seems to be back to his best. So that's a very big plus for India, considering bowling trio of say Bumrah, Bhuvi and Natarajan or Shardul looks very formidable on paper. And hopefully Kuldeep Yadav gets a game now in the ODI series. I don't see any other specialist spinner apart from Yuzvendra Chahal. So hopefully Kuldeep gets a game, and there'll be either Krunal or Washington Sundar to support him.
Wow. Yeah. You know, pick of plenty hearing all of these names. You're just... like we said, with the focus, I know we're coming into the one-day series, but every series now seems to be some kind of plan format, you know, for the T20s as well. And I'm sure team management will be looking to sort of give experience, but also, give experience under match-like conditions. You know, that's got to be something on everybody's mind. So, with that being said, I think it's going to be a fascinating series coming up. And with any last thoughts, Sanket?
No, so just wanted to check with you, what is your predicted score line for the ODI series?
Well, out of the five, I think I'm going to go with 3-2 again to India, you know, to be honest.
It's a three-match series, actually.
It's a three-match series. Okay, so I'll probably say 3-2. Oh, no, so three-match series, maybe 2-1, if it's that short. So I think that's basically what we're looking at. What do you think, Sankit?
I think if India try out more players from an experimentation standpoint, I think England stand a good chance of winning. I feel it should be India winning, considering it's more long term and it's Pune and all that. So I feel India seems like a whitewash maybe on the cards over here.
You're looking at a whitewash by India?
Yes. I think so.
Okay, wow. Okay. So 3-0 for Sankit, 2-1 here. A consolation match for the English, really. So with that being said, everyone, thank you for attending this podcast for the T20 wrap-up. And we're looking going into the one-day series as well. Another fascinating series. We're looking to see what new faces will, take India ahead. And we'll wrap up again with another review for the one-day series after it's done. Thank you, Sankit. Don't forget to check out Sankit's tunes on Jakar Tunes, and please check out the India Wear website as well as podcast. And looking forward to talking again after the one-day series gets done. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Moons. Thank you all. Have a great week ahead.